We open up the gates that you, King of Glory, may come in. We thank you, Lord, that there is nothing, no other place that we would rather be in, nothing that we would rather be doing, Lord, other than celebrating your goodness. We adore you and worship you in this place. We offer you ourselves right now. Come down, oh God, come down. Continue to invade us with your presence. There is healing in the glory. There is victory in the glory. You are here because glory is you. Glory is your name and you are glory. So Father, we just celebrate you. Welcome. Welcome you, Holy Spirit. Welcome you in this place. Thank you, Lord. Just continue to increase. Let's just posture ourselves to continue to worship the Lord. We worship you, Lord. You are a King of glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are glorious and majestic. Glorious and majestic. We bend our knee to you in this house. We open our mouths and we declare that you are the King. You are the King of glory. We offer you. Here we are, Lord. We love you so much in this place. Let's just sing out to him, King of glory. King of glory.
Glory, have your glory. Son. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious. Your face outshines the brightest sun. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious. Your face outshines the brightest sun. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious. Your face outshines the brightest sun. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious. Your face outshines the brightest sun. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious. Fire, you shine, blazing fire. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious.
Holy, you are righteous, you are just in all your ways. You are declaring the goodness of God. You're coming into alignment with who He is. Your eyes and my eyes are off of anything that surrounds the world right now. Our eyes are totally on you, Lord. Totally on you, not our problems, not our finances, not our cares or concerns. Our eyes are on you because you are righteous, holy. You are holy and righteous in all your ways. Let's sing out to Him together.
You are righteous. You are just in all your ways. You are holy. You are righteous. You are just in all your ways. You are holy. You are righteous. You are just in all your ways. You are holy. You are righteous. You are just in all your ways. You are holy.
You are righteous. You are just in all your ways. You are holy. You are righteous. You are just in all your ways.
You are holy. You are righteous. You are just in all your ways. You are holy. You are righteous. You are just in all your ways. You are holy, you are righteous, you are just in all your ways. You are holy, you are righteous, you are just in all your ways. You are holy, you are righteous, you are just in all your ways. You are holy, you are righteous, you are just in all your ways. Holy,
just as we were worshiping, the Lord was highlighting to me that each person here, that you have an expression of worship in your heart that pleases the Lord. And I just believe the Lord was saying this morning that there's a release for you, not only to sing and declare your heart of love to the Lord through the words of your mouth, but I believe that He is releasing upon this body a movement, a dance, a motion, an action where you physically express your love and devotion for the Lord. And I believe as you step into that in whatever way that that looks like, it's going to release. It's going to release His presence over you, where it's not just, hey, the words, but it's where your body, your physical body, is coming into the place of worshiping the Lord, of expressing His Spirit through you, either through a movement of your arm, even through a moving of your leg, of just swaying side to side, of just opening yourself up completely to the Lord and allowing the expression of who you are to come through to bless Him. Oh, He wants to, yay, take us, each one of us, into that deeper place of expressing our hearts to Him in worship and just letting go of anything that surrounds us that would keep us from stepping out in that.
Don't know Him as Daddy yet, just lean and let Him put His big arms around you. Just breathe into those places, that need His touch. Yes. He's saying, let go, beloved, and forgive yourself. Just let go. Just let go. Just feel my arms around you. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. The Lord's promises are for goodness and mercy to follow you all the days of your life. Goodness and mercy, blessing, hope, peace, joy. As a sign to Noah in the Old Testament, with the rains having ceased, the Lord shone beautiful rainbow in the sky. And today He still does that for us. And we're living in a miraculous season in time where the Lord's dimension of glory is being released all over the world for people to see with their visible eyes and hear with their audible ears, their hearing. His goodness surrounds us wherever we are. We can look outside. We can look at our very life and the life of our children or grandchildren and say, thank you, Lord. You are abundant life giver. But sometimes the Lord also shows up in supernatural ways that we don't understand and or can explain. Not that we can ever explain life. So as you're receiving from Father right now, when you're able, you can look up at the screen and you can see a sign and a wonder that appeared in Dylan and Amy's office, Dylan's office and Amy and Dylan's home this week. And the array of colors were so incredibly beautiful. And as I heard the report from Amy, there was no rain. There was no way for any seemingly natural output of light from the sky to produce that. And when I saw the picture that was forwarded to me, it was clearer than that. Yeah. Is Amy here? Amy, can you come here? Jesus.
While I was praying and I looked up at the ceiling and saw, this only shows like half of what I saw, and I'm trying to get the other half on there somehow, but it was a full arc rainbow, and I was just amazed because it was like perfect. And I've seen like reflections from the sun come off and hit like things on the inside of buildings, and but I've never seen where it was completely perfect, like it should have been outside, but I've never seen anything like that. And the blinds were down, so I'm like, wow. So anyways, what God spoke to me was that all, as I was praying for some things in our personal lives, and also corporately, God was speaking to me that all his promises are yes and amen. And so I took that word, and I was just amazed at what he's doing. So,
and for those of us who need maybe a reminder, last year when we were going to India, six of us were sitting in rows together, seats together, and in the tray in front of the seat was in the upright position. And against the tray, Pastor Bill was next to me, and I think Amy next to him. And you look out in the sky, and there's nothing. It was just, you know, dead gray. And all of a sudden, there was a rainbow that appeared and stayed for quite some time. We just sat there, and nobody else in our rows had anything like that. You know, that's the Lord's goodness. He's saying, I love you, and I'm showing up to let you know that I am who I am. I don't need to do that, but that's just a love kiss from me. So if there's anything that you've been trusting the Lord for and believing that is backed up in his word, that you know that is from him, you can be sure the Lord says, ask me, ask for anything in my name and it shall be given to you. It shall be done. Our Lord is very gracious. He is really good. If we're not sure if it's from the Lord, we'll wait on the Lord. But he loves to give us the desires of our heart. But our God is very intentional because he has a kingdom plan for our lives. And if he has spoken something to you, and it's his voice for you, it shall come to pass. Amen. That's our God. That's our good God that we can trust. Yeah. So be encouraged today. Be encouraged. Amen. As we transition into an expression of the word, as Pastor Bill comes and brings the word to us this morning, just a continuation of just basking in the glory and the holy moments of God here. He is here. He's not leaving because we're transitioning into the word. He's here. Just continue to receive from him. Yeah. Did anybody have a picture or a sense when the Lord, when you were encouraged to engage with the Lord during worship today? Mm-hmm. Isn't that great? God is so good. God is so, so good. He is so good. Just trust him because he's so faithful. You can trust him. He's trustworthy. He really is. It's good. We want to just play. Carl, if you can find what we had on Tuesday for the healings, that would be great. As we're moving into this next phase, we just want to play a really short clip of our last meeting, Tuesday night, which is Fire and Wind. And we encourage all of you to make every effort to come if you can. Just would love to see, we'd love to see you there. And this is just an example of the healing outbreak that happened there, which is very common. Just watch that for just a moment as soon as that comes up. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Isn't that amazing up there? So amazing. I came home from the presentation that Tom Carr gave on Thursday about our frontline training center, and I had a short waisted coat on and at home, and I sat in the driveway, put my car in park, and I looked down, and there's a very visible feather. Right on my leg. You have one. Where did you get that? There's another feather. If you want to see it, God is in the business of showing up in supernatural ways. He says, I am supernatural. I have created you the same. If you would like to step into that dimension of glory, then seek me with everything you have and trust me to make myself known. We don't worship feathers or rainbows or anything else. We were coming home the other night from a meeting, my husband and I, and as we walked in, and my coat doesn't have feathers, so we walked in and he looked at me, and there was this, it was about 2 inches long at least, and I have it at home, and just floating right next to my shoulder, just right down by my feet. And here's another one here. If you have never seen anything like this and you want to see it, come and see it. You're welcome to come see it. It's a sign and a wonder from the Lord. Rainbows, signs and wonders. The Lord's saying, I'm here. I'm showing up. And that's just the beginning. So I'm here to let you know that I'm really, really amazing. And I want you to see my glory for yourself in fullness, way beyond this. This is just a little Hershey kiss for us compared to what he wants to show us. So do we have that? Just a second, Paul. Oh, you want to see it? Yeah. Awesome.
Wait, can you go like this? Is that new, or is that something you could do before?
I could do everything. Just
can you back it up, please, so we could see the words?
I don't feel that.
This was last Tuesday night.
Put the sound up. But really, I don't feel that sharp pain. I felt in the joint bed there. So,
Lord, just thank you. Just give more. Just thank you, Lord, that he receives everything.
I
had a broken leg right above my ankle. It was very severe. Katie and Carol just laid hands on my ankle. And what I suffered from is range of motion. It could not. My toes couldn't pull back as far as my other leg. Couldn't point forward. My toes would not point that far. That leg would not match that leg. This is the broken leg.
Right.
Nor could it come back this far.
Wow.
Several years ago, I couldn't do this before.
Yes,
I could put it down, but I couldn't bring it back all the way. And now I can. Yeah.
Lord.
And then I saw a picture of the Lord, and he had fire on his finger, and he touched my throat and just moved it up and down and up and down, and I felt the heat. And then I felt a little bit better, and then I got prayed for, and I just fell back in the spirit. And when I got back up, there's no tingling, nothing in my throat. It feels completely better. But I tell you what, I listened to Peter when I was on the floor, And I've always said, Lord, this is going to be a crooked finger. Peter just really ministered to me, and my statement over my hand now is my finger's getting healed and it's restored. But it would not do anything, and to do this would be excruciating pain. It's all the way to a right angle before it was frozen straight.
Amen.
I broke my left pinky once, and the Lord completely healed that. So, nobody can do that for you.
I mean,
we see this happen instantly overseas with arms and hands, and arms being lifted.
The unbelief is the bigger miracle about it. What's that?
The unbelief about this finger is the bigger miracle.
That's the bigger miracle.
Lord, just finish your work.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
Lord. Just finish it. Finish it off.
There has been an affliction in my back since May of last year when we did the May Day thing. And I have had pain that I have been trying to treat it chiropractically. And it would go up and down, in and out, in and out. And I'm not living free from this. And today, when the testimony went out, there's a blue mist going out. I took that in. I said, I want that. I've been contending for that. Even as far as yesterday, I had some pain in my body from doing just a little bit of shuffling. But now I can bend over completely and touch my toes. I have not been able to do that since May of last year.
Okay, here we go.
Like, that's awesome. And there's no pain. And there is no pain in doing that. I could not do that before. I get a twinge right back here every single time. And it's worked just all the way its way up into my mid shoulders, and I have no pain at all.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. About my eyes, and I felt like every time I said it, I shouldn't have spoken it out, but I have, at least since I was a child, I have amblyopia, which is like a kind of a severe form of lazy eye. You can't see it, but my right eye doesn't work without my glasses, so like right now I'm only seeing my left eye, and I felt like the Lord, I heard that when you said, I came in late, but I felt like that's what the Lord, what I was hearing, and then it was really weird because Bethany came up about her eyesight, and then I was like, okay, yeah, that's it. And so I prayed for that and just told the Lord I received it, and he told me to take my glasses off, and right when I took my glasses off, my vision was sharper.
Wow!
And we'll just finish it for a minute completely.
Hope to see you. It's worth coming to. Children are released. I think they've already gone. If not, children can go to Kingdom Land.
Better late than never. Like me with the pick. You know. Why don't we pray? Sound good? How many enjoyed worship? Whoa. That was fun, wasn't it? Thank you, Lord. Father, we just give you all the praise today, Lord. We're honored to be here. It's not hard for us to enter into the body and take our place, enter into your presence and enjoy your richness, your lavishing all over us, Lord. Father, I thank you, God, that you are a giving, generous Father. And Lord, you're lavishing on us this morning your good gifts. Father, we don't need jewels, we have you. Father, we don't need gold. We have you, silver, pale in comparison to you. They're all going to burn. You're not. And we'll be with you. Lord, thank you that you are our pearl of great price. Thank you, Lord. Make that more real to us today than ever. Give us a new revelation. A new revelation of that, Lord. We're in need as your children of a new revelation. More than our daily bread, we need new things from your hand. New thoughts from your mind. New energizing brought from your spirit to ours, Lord. Thank you, Father. We're rising up like eagles to fly higher so we can see with your eyes what's happening on the earth, Lord. And do what the Father, what you, Lord, want us to do. Take us deeper, take us higher, take us wider today, Lord. We need you to speak to us. We're offering ourselves to hear from you, Lord. Here we are. No agendas. No hands in your face. No finger up to your lips saying, no, don't speak. It's going to be too much for me to handle. No, Lord, we take our hands and we say, we surrender to you. We surrender to you, Lord. Speak into our ears, Lord. Take out the stoppers. Take out the plugs. Show us new things in our spiritual eyes, Lord. We honor you now more than ever. We lay ourselves before you, bow before you out of love, not out of condemnation. We come before you with joy, unspeakable and full of glory today, Lord. Speak to us. Speak to us. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Change our thinking. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We repent of any resistance before you this morning. We repent of any judgment before you this morning. We repent of any lack of love for you this morning, Lord. And all we need to do is just adjust. Step into kingdom. Step into kingdom, Lord. Your name is higher today than our name. Your kingdom, we are raising it higher than our own little kingdom. Our little kingdom, we bow to your kingdom in joy, in love, in obedience. We don't resist. Church, we don't resist. Saints, we don't resist. Believers, we don't resist. Holy Spirit, you've heard our hearts. Speak to us. Speak to us. In Jesus' name. Amen? Ooh. I think you're ready. That's good. Real good. Well, I thought about speaking on this topic some time ago, and I thought I had it pretty well squared away, what I was going to share. Thought it was pretty good stuff. And last night, before I went to bed, I was going to listen to a CD on this topic, and I'll do that in the morning. It'll just be a further encouragement of what I'm going to share. But I listened to the CD, and just a few points in that CD changed everything. Because I realized I'm going to be speaking chapter 2 on what I spoke on last time, and I didn't even know it. I didn't realize it, that the two were connected so closely in the Spirit. Now, of course, those that were here all remember what I spoke on last time. Right? Oh, so there's some pretty strong yeses. Yes, Lord. Let's just test that out. I heard that from the back there somewhere. What did I speak on last time? Oh. That was part of it? Slave, son, servant, and all of that. Sonship. Prodigal son was in there. This is good. I'm enjoying this. You know, why speak revelation that you feel is from Father? No one remembers it in 2 weeks. At least something. I don't expect you to remember every word that was said. That's why you re-listen to things on the web, because our messages are posted there. And of course, things you forget, you review on there. Check out those recordings, especially Pastor Mary Pat's word last week. And you all know what that was. And it was? We speak. Power of what we speak. Awesome. This is going to be a great start. So this is part 2, and I didn't know it. Sonship, slave, servant. For those that weren't here, we basically said that some Christians try to be a slave to God, they try to be a servant to God, but they're not very good at either one until they're a son or daughter of the Most High. You can't be a good slave, a bond servant, put your ear against the door and have the Lord put that spike in as a sign of ownership, unless you're a son and a daughter of His. Otherwise, you end up striving to try to please the Lord. It ends up being law and not grace in your life. But if you're a son, you can be the best slave and servant of the Lord, because you come from a whole different viewpoint. And you can serve Him without limit and never wear out from a position of sonship, daughterhood in Him. It's a totally different deal. Fear just vanishes when we grab onto sonship and we grab onto being a daughter of the Lord. Amen? Okay, that was kind of the summary. Well, this time I thought we would talk about a topic related to that, which I didn't know was related so closely. Let me read a few statements for you. And someone have Isaiah 43, 1 through 10 ready for me. And someone have Psalm 2, 8 ready for me. God made all we see from nothing. Isn't that true? He didn't need something to start with. God doesn't need our money. He desires our heart. Isn't that true? When we give in tithes and offerings, the Lord isn't saying, "Whew, I wouldn't have been able to make that payment without it. Good thing they gave this week. I was a little, short to meet the monthly bills. Too many bills at the end of the month." That's how it goes, right? A heart in love with God first is not in love with money or anything else first. The world, fleshly lusts, the devil, etc. Isn't that true? If we're in love with God first, we certainly won't be in love with money. or possessions. God has never been in debt. Ever. It should put a whole different view on the way we look at finances for us. We're not helping God out by giving our 10%. We're not helping God out by giving our 10% plus offerings. Not helping Him out. We're honoring Him. But He doesn't need those funds because He can create anything out of nothing. We don't even need money because we have God. We use it. It's the world system. Coins are put in that jar so that people can end up on mission fields, at least the seed of that. But we're trusting God's going to take us there. We don't really need money when we have Him supplying things out of midair. God puts no value, ultimately no value, on gold, silver, precious jewels, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and so on. He puts no ultimate value on those things. Now, I know there's streets of gold, so we can discuss that later, but no, He uses those things as a tool for us to bless us. Bless others. Use a system that man devised that was no shock to our Father to bless others around the world. But you know, a coin doesn't really bless somebody that much, even if it's gold. If they receive it and they know it's from the Lord, that's a blessing. Otherwise, they can wrap their hand around it and hang on to it. And it's not so much of a blessing, is it? But if they know it's from the Lord, it's like the love of the Lord is received by them, not just this crazy coin from where I picked up an ink stain. So what does He value? People. We say that a lot around here and throughout the body of Christ. Do we really mean it? That He values people. So if anyone in this body, after all that worship to God, is feeling rejection from some source in life, something is disconnected, isn't it, with your Heavenly Father? Because as we worship Him, He draws near to us. Draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. As we draw near to Him, He draws close to us. There should be no rejection in this room after that worship. None. Because He was drawing close to His people. Those of you that know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He has drawn close to you this morning. Have you appreciated it? Or is it just, wow, that felt heebie-jeebie good? Wow, they really kind of, you know, were together up there on the worship team. Or they were really kind of off on the worship team. You know, just depending on your perspective. That Pastor Bill missed a couple chords. I saw it. I heard it. Or is it, I was connecting with my Heavenly Father in such a way that rejection, condemnation, depression, slime on a popsicle stick just left me. And I feel rejuvenated in my faith. I feel rejuvenated in being close to God again. Maybe as I walked in here, I was hoping that would happen. And it did. Isn't Father good? Let's not take the smallest of steps from him toward us for granted. If there's any fear in the room after that worship, something is wrong. Because when an almighty God comes close to us, draws near to us, embraces us, yes, and lets us call him Dad, Papa, Abba, Father, there should be no fear of anything or anyone, no matter what happened in Egypt, Bahrain, and other places. No fear, because Father has drawn close to us this morning. We could just continue that, couldn't we? Leave this speaker thing out. And we do from time to time. Isaiah 43, 1 through 10. Who has that for me? Volunteer. Okay. What version are we in? The pink version. Okay. Lavender, I guess. Love that. If he's a redeemer of Israel, is he any less redeemer of you and me as individuals? Verse 3 and 4, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Is he your Savior? I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place, since you were precious in my sight. You have been honored, and I have loved you. Other versions say, since you are precious in my sight. You've been honored, and I love you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. He values us as precious. He doesn't say gold is precious. He says we're precious. And then he says, I'm going to give your life for others who are going to be precious to me as well. When they come to know me as Father, as Savior, when they get redeemed, they will be precious as well. Is there any doubt that God values you and me above anything made on earth? Of course not. Psalm 2:8. Why didn't he say, ask of me and I will give you $1 million? Ask of me and I will fill your bank account this moment. Now, he might do that. Why not trust for that? Because we can use those things, those tools, to reach people and so on. But he wants to give us the nations. He wants us to ask for for the nations who today will ask for the nation of Mozambique this summer, maybe even before we get there, to be turned over to the Lord. You say, well, Mozambique, it's a big country. I mean, it's long. It's got this huge, long coastline. How in the world would a country like that, with people spread out all over Mozambique, how would it ever come to the Lord? Well, through children. The poor. Iris Ministries started ministering to the poor and children, and 10,000 churches, they're estimating, have been established in the last, 10 years, something like that? Maybe longer, a little bit longer. 10,000 churches of 100 or more. Where did that come from? Father's heart. And do you think that maybe, just maybe, a few of those churches will get the vision to multiply themselves? Sure they will. Because we have teams going there, we're going to tell them, go ahead, multiply yourself. And others, of course. The whole nation, you should be jealous, because the whole nation might be won over before we get there this summer. Then we're just going to be doing cleanup work. Ministry to people to build them in their faith rather than to win them to the Lord. Would that be all right? Absolutely. Ask for the nations. Ask. He said he'll give them to us. Indonesia. India. He wants them won. Who are the ones that are asking? Well, we were doing some asking Friday night. Some pretty cool asking about a number of things. Many of them having to do with our own state and how the fire is going of revival is going to sweep through this state. We're actually believing it. Ohio. Isn't that interesting? New governor. New House of Representatives speaker. The Lord is setting things up. And he wants it to even reach the halls of our government. I love it. So the Lord values people. He values nations of people. When he's talking about nations, by the way, he's probably referring to people groups. Because he's so good at loving, you know, people groups. Nations are often a bunch of people groups. Like we hear the Chinese. That's kind of a hard one. Because as you travel through China, there are so many different people groups. And they all look at the gospel in a different way. Some are very open. Some are hugely closed. They dress differently. Many times, way different languages than the national language. And so on as you travel through China. So to say, oh, I met a Chinese person. What tribe? What group? What people group are they from? Because there's so many different ones. But the Lord knows every one. And he knows which ones need to be reached before he comes. And he'll send us if we ask. And he'll win them if we ask. See, we don't just ask, we also go. I like that. We don't just say, you know, win the city of Canton. We actually go down there and meet some of the folks of the city of Canton and try to share the love of Jesus. We don't just say, be one campuses. We send some folks to Malone. We send some folks to Mount Union. We send some folks to Jackson High School. Because we want to be part of it. We don't want to miss out. Because the Lord loves people. People are precious to him. And he uses tithes, offerings, as our investment to honor him as we go ahead and reach out to others. Now, there's a lot of negative things in the Bible about money. It's been said that Jesus spoke on money more than any other subject. I wonder why that is. Why would he speak on something that he just uses as a tool? Why didn't he speak on how precious people are? Well, he did. But why did he speak on money? Because money is the root of all evil. He had to kind of attack that big mountain while he was here on earth so that we would see that money can pull us away from him so easily as an idol and take us away from his best for us. He's so good to us, he points out things that might be a mountain that we want to remove. The love of money. I didn't clarify that. Loving money is the mountain, not money itself. Now, I just know that none of you would steal my new iPhone. You just wouldn't even think about it. Because you know it's a useful tool for me in the gospel. And I actually figured out how to put music on this last night. So now it's a useful tool in my worship time with the Lord. So some of you know about my worship soaking center at home. I've described that before. It's a 46-inch HD screen TV, but it has this sound system that when you put it on, you just go to heaven. And so it's my soaking center. This is soaking center too. It now has loads of worship on it and teachings on it that will bless your path. You wouldn't think of stealing this. If I happened to leave it out here and you know, people were going home and I just forgot it and I left and went home and you were the last one in the church and you walked by it, you would say, I want to return that to Pastor Bill. You wouldn't say to yourself, I want to steal that from Pastor Bill and make that my own collection of worship music if I can figure out his password. And be blessed by the way it's used as a tool for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think Pastor Bill, in fact, is a little lazy in the gospel, and I would be much more extreme than he is, and so I could make better use of it than him. You wouldn't do that.
And Bill?
Yes, Paul. Paul, you just convicted more people than my message will. Once again. Okay. Thank you for that, Paul. I don't have to bring it up later. That's right. It was genius. Once again. Malachi 3:7. Some of you know what's coming, but Malachi 3:7, we're going to go through verse 12. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Now, right at that point, we would hope that possibly hearing that, we would hope the Lord would say, well, generally repent. That would be nice. Just whatever you think you've done wrong, just generally repent. That'll show you're returning to me. But instead, he says this, verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delighted land, says the Lord of hosts. So he said there that Israel was robbing from him. In what way? Tithes and offerings. Bring the tithes into the storehouse. Why? Why bring the offerings into the storehouse? Why? So he can open up the window. Why bring it into the store? So he can open up the window. Windows where? My window? 4256 Caraway windows? These windows? The windows of heaven. Why does he want to do that? We give him something on earth, and he opens up something in heaven. We give him something on earth, and he opens up something in heaven. We don't rob him on earth, and he opens up heaven to us. We give, and he gives us so much back, we can't contain it. We give stuff that nobody cares about when the Lord's presence is heavy. We don't care about money, do we? We don't care about wealth when we're close in his presence. Not really. We don't care much about anything. We're just enjoying the sweetness. We can come from totally different financial positions, and in the Lord, we all end up blessed in the same. Ooh, that's sweet. You mean I don't have to give a bigger offering to get close to the Lord? No, you don't. You have to just honor him in that way. And you're not robbing him. And his blessings can flow even greater. He allows you in his presence because you're his child. Not because of how much you put in the offering box. You know, wouldn't it be great to stand up here as a pastor and say, no, if you put a bigger gift in the offering box, you'll be closer to the Lord. You will be drawn into his presence even closer and sweeter and deeper. Now, it may be true that the obedient heart would have much more opportunity for that. Don't get me wrong. But he doesn't throw that in our face. He lets us learn. He lets us grow. We're all learning. We're all growing how to give to him, how to present our tithes and offerings before him. What are we trying to do in doing that? Honor him. He doesn't need the money to pay the bills. We don't need your money to pay the bills. We need your hearts. And the money takes care of itself. The Lord needs your heart. And the money takes care of itself. If your hearts are in, it takes care of itself. Because you won't want to rob God like these folks. That would be the last thing on your mind. Just wouldn't want to do it. Just like you wouldn't want to steal Pastor Bill's cell phone. That's the last thing on your mind. I mean, you're saying, that's right, because I like Droid. Get rid of that old iPhone thing. It's going to be obsolete in 6 months. I want the latest, greatest. So I don't think there's a heart in this house that wants to rob from God. Because you're led by the Spirit of God and you're sons and daughters of the Most High. So you don't want to do that. You might have to adjust something. Is that unusual? How many will testify? I don't speak a whole lot on finances. I mean, I have in the last 2 weeks, a little bit. Wow. All right. A big vote there, 7 hands. Okay. Well, I'll review that and see what I'm doing. Okay. So we wouldn't want to rob God because of all he's done for us. What did he do? Gave the best from heaven first. That's all. Before the foundation of the world. Before we even showed up at all to populate the earth. He had already given Jesus. No time in heaven, right? He had already given him back then. Just in case the enemy didn't recognize the plan. Gave it. Gave his best. Gave Jesus before the foundation of the world. He was slain before the foundation of the world, right? I see a couple looks there. So in God's heart, he gave the best first before he even showed up. Before any of us populated the earth. Awesome. Thank you, God. We wouldn't rob from him because he owns it all anyway. Who gave us that nice salary? Who gave us that extra gift? Who gave us that birthday card? My birthday was in January, and I had a gift on my piano last night for my birthday. How about that? The hits just keep on coming. Pretty fun, huh? Birthday that lasts throughout the year. Pretty fun. So he owns it all anyway, even my new gift. Even my new iPhone. He wants to use it, he can use it. If he wants to put his contacts on it, he can go ahead and do that. Just hope it has enough memory. We wouldn't want to steal from him, rob from him, because he sees us do it. We're not fooling anyone. Well, you know, the pastors, they don't know what I give, so you're right. Don't pay attention to that. Because he sees all. He sees what I give. He made an adjustment in me last night. Said, you're going to speak on this. Forgot something. You're right, Lord. Just go ahead and make that check out. Because you forgot something. I adjusted. I made out the check. He just adjusts us. He's so gracious that way. He sees what we do. Do we want to adjust when he sees it? And say, sorry, Lord. Yes, Lord. Help me, Lord. I'm a forgetful creature, especially when it comes to money. Real easy to forget that commitment. Real easy to forget that desire that welled up inside of us. Real easy to tone it down. And he brought up some other things in my life, my heart, that I'm still working on, checking some things. It's what you want. I'll do it. I want to learn more about this area this year than ever. Because I don't even want to be guilty of ignorance robbing from you in any way. I don't know how I'm going to get there. Because I'm a forgetful guy, Lord. And I flub up so much, Lord. Flop, fail, flounder. But I think you're going to take me to a new level of giving. And I kind of enjoy it. But I need to enjoy it more. How about you? The Lord loves a... Boy, don't we know that one. I think in the original languages, you know, at least one of the meanings was hilarious. Oh, Jeff threw all that money off. Oh, here you go. How about a shovel, Lord? Here you go. You got enough? No, okay. I want to get there. I'm not there yet. But I want to be there. And I want to give more money to things I'm not going to get a tax receipt on. We really try to get your tax receipts to you from this body, so that's not what I'm talking about. But there are plenty of needs that you're not going to get a tax receipt for. Forget about it. Lord will more than open up the windows of heaven for us. It'll be fun. Bless somebody in the body before somebody else does. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Is that true or not? Well, just bless them before somebody else gets to them. Be a, you know, person that can look around the congregation. Who has a need today? Who has a financial need? Okay! Zip right to them and take care of it. I want to be more like that. Some people are very quick to bless me. I go out to eat. I'm all ready to maybe buy the meal. And the waitress comes up and I got, you know, one check or two. I'll take it. You don't have to do that. Because I usually say, you know, today I pray, you pay. Or today you pray, I pay. Or sometimes I try to have them pray at a time they're supposed to pay. And I pay it. And other times I don't have anything in my pocket, and so I offer to pray. But whatever, it's a blessing even to be thinking about it. But some people here are very quick. And they kind of just, you know, they just know what to say when that waitress comes up. And I'm like, I was going to say that. I'll take the check. And I get blessed by you over and over again. And it's not just in money. I get paid for doing what I do. And I have no complaints. Never have. Even when we started the ministry, when there was no, or not started the ministry, but started this church, and there were no real tithes yet. We didn't even know how to talk about it quite. People were trying to decide whether they're going to be part of the thing or not. They were from different churches, trying not to pull from other places. And it was a very awkward time. And God still took care of us. Ooh, like that. On offerings. I stepped out in 2003. We didn't have the church until 2005. He took care of us on offerings. There were no tithes. It's amazing how he can open up the windows of heaven. It says, test him. Why does he want us to test him? So he can show us he's true to opening up those windows. He's not going to hesitate Well, I think I'll keep them closed for this person. And open for this person. Closed for this one. Open for this one. Ha ha! Fooled ya! No, he wants to open them up for each of us. All we need to do is just not rob from him. Not too hard. After all he's done for us. Oh, don't do that. Who has Luke 12:15 for us? So Malachi was kind of a negative, turns to a positive. We adjust and don't rob from God. Wow, windows of heaven open. We can test him on it. Go ahead, give me a test. I can pass this one. Luke 12:15. Nice and loud. Even when one has an abundance, it doesn't consist of our possessions, does it? Be on guard against every form of greed, wanting to hang on to. We know these verses. We've heard many of them, been challenged maybe from other sources on these verses. All Father's saying today is, are you willing to adjust so I can bless you? Oh, I think so. Are you willing to just adjust a little so I can open up the windows of heaven on you? Sure, I think I can do that. Not a hard one. When the fear comes in of, it'll never be enough. I'll do the wrong thing. I won't know what to give. I don't have anything to give. We should remember the widow's mite. She gave more than everyone else because she gave all that she had, but it was just a mite. I have one of those at home, an original. It is a little mite. I mean, it's small, especially now that the ravages of time have taken care of it. But Jesus saw that from quite a distance because he saw her heart. When she presented it, it was all she had, so I'm sure there was something expressed from her heart. And obviously, if you only have a mite, you're not going to do it for show like the Pharisees used to do. Here's my offering. Everyone see it? Here it is. I'm going to give this to God now. Gold, silver, frankincense, myrrh, jewels. Right here. I'm going to give this to God. I'm just going to give it to God. Right here. See it? See it? Here it is. Here it is. Watch now. Gave it to God. What do you think? Pretty cool, huh? Woo! I'm a good giver. I'm generous. He says, the lady that gave the mite, my friend. Why? Was it just because of it was all she had? I don't think. I think it was the heart that was willing to do that. Wow. Are we willing to give even the last bit to the Lord of us? Then whatever the possessions are won't be a big deal. The issue is us. Are we willing to give him our heart? Are we still kind of like, God, I'm not sure I trust you quite yet? If we don't trust him, we'll end up robbing from him. Let me know that. Isn't that true? If we don't trust our Father, we'll end up robbing from him. Let me say it one last time. Whenever I have not trusted my Father, I end up robbing from him somehow. It's true. Even if it has nothing to do with money, I will stay away from him I will stay away from his goodness if I don't trust him. I will stay away from those trying to give me his goodness. I will back off from them. They're too much, too over the edge, too extreme. I don't want to get too close to that. It's too much for my family. It's too much for me personally. It's too stretching. So I will not trust. I will back off and rob that relationship with someone acting as Father's representative. And ultimately, I'm robbing from a closer relationship with the Father I don't trust. Is anyone more trustworthy? No, because he can't hurt us. Let me say it again. God can't hurt you. God can't hurt you. He holds himself back from even becoming too powerful in his presence to overwhelm us. You know, we keep saying, we want your presence, we want your presence, we want your presence. What if it really showed up? You know, he would have to hold back because we'd all be laid out on the floor. He would have to hold back some of his presence so we didn't burn up like a little crisp. He'd have to. Because if he brought in his full presence, I'm sorry, all of you would be toasted like a marshmallow. Instantly vaporized. Did I say you? Me too. And so he lovingly will bring in just enough to draw us closer to him, to heal us up, to deliver us, and so on. And some people are going, nah, don't want any of that today. And, you know, drive through the church and say, not today. Do what Pastor Mary Pat does. Just hot water and a lemon. I don't like ordering that when I go through the drive-through, I must admit. She's in the other seat. I'm like ready to really order it up. And she says, honey, would you ask them for hot water and a lemon, please? And of course, they can't see her, the angle of the window, you know. They can't see her. They think, I'm ordering hot water and a lemon, just to start with. Anything else? You betcha, buddy. If you think I'm going to exist on hot water and a lemon, I'd be on that lemon for a long time. Anyway, I need to get on to what the connections are. Obviously, there are bunches of verses on the positive things. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. Who has that for us? We'll just do two out of this section, and then I do have to make the connection. That's 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. If you just can't help yourself, go on to verse 11. Who has that for us? 2 Corinthians 9, it's in the New Testament. That's correct. There we go. Okay, Peter, nice and loud. that 8 or through 11? Awesome. Peter's prophetic because I had down here for someone to read it out of the message and forgot to mention it. And so is Jamie because she let him read it. Yes, Lord. Could you read it one more time, a little slower? Savor this. Some of you may recognize it as, he who sows sparingly also reaps sparingly, and he who sows bountifully also reaps bountifully. And that's also the passage for God loves a cheerful giver. That was in there, but in the message form. Awesome passage. Just a reminder, isn't it? For any adjustments that need to be made in us, in our giving to God, thinking that, you know, this is so hard. And he's saying, just dance around and, you know, give it to whoever. If it's this body, if it's someone in need, if it's outside this body, if it's to another ministry, whatever he leads you to do. Just do it. Dance when you do it. Enjoy it. Have fun with it. Because God's going to have a ball opening up the windows of heaven to you. And blessing your socks off, like this passage talks about. He can't wait, don't forget, to make sure his word is true. That person that sows sparingly reaps sparingly. That person that sows bountifully, I can't wait! Whoosh! All over him. But even if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap more than what you sowed. Because he just can't help it. Blesses even the smallest cup of water in Jesus' name, doesn't he? So he takes notice, even when we sow sparingly. But who wants to stop at that? I want to learn how to go way beyond that. Philippians 4:19, who has that memorized? Risa does. You meant to do that this week. No. Philippians 4:19. No, but I like that one. Okay. Well, we'll go with riches and glory because that works better for what I'm going to share on that. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. According to his riches and glory, he'll supply your need. Again, where is he going to get the riches? heaven is going to bring down His gifts from heaven. Where are those windows opening up? Heaven. He's going to bring the favor, the blessing, the abundance on your life from where? Heaven. It's not even from this earth. Now, it might take some kind of a form here on this earth to bless you so that you recognize it sometimes. But it might not. You know, which would you rather have? Would you rather have a whole lot of money that slips through your fingers? Or would you rather have a system downloaded to you, revealed to you from heaven, that makes money forever? You know, sometimes a pile of money isn't the solution. Sometimes the idea, the revealed idea, is worth so much more. Tom shared during his presentation Thursday night, I think, about Mr. McPherson, Christian guy that had a couple of multi-million dollar ideas. So I checked him out online, you know. I didn't take Tom's word for it. I'm a Berean. So I checked the guy out online. Especially there was something in his presentation, guitars. Guitars. So I had to check out this McPherson guitar. Oh my. I haven't played one, but I want to. Checked out a couple websites trying to find out where the closest place is. Don't think I can afford one, but I just like to play one. They look really cool, and they're made out of amazing wood. Some woods that are illegal, but if you have a stockpile of them, you can use. Brazilian rosewood is illegal to import into the United States anymore, but if you have a stockpile of it, you can make guitars out of it. Sometimes they're saying that if you go overseas with that guitar and try to come back in, some customs people may stop you and try to take the guitar away because the wood in it is illegal to bring into the United States. Imagine that. And I have a guitar with a little bit of that wood in it, and I took it overseas already, and they didn't snoop me, you know, on the way back. So I guess I missed their... whatever. Anyway, he gets this idea downloaded to him. Two of them. Two different businesses. Bows and arrows. Bows, I guess. Bows. Just a bow. Somebody else can make the arrows. And guitars. And these guitars are amazing. One I checked out online. You know, probably the one I want. Waiting for Andrew to buy it for me. $14,000. So, you know, kind of upper crust guitars, to say the least. But a very unique design. Have a sound hole at the top of the guitar and so on. Tom was telling us about it, and I checked him out, and it's true. Just so you know. Check Tom out, and he has not been found wanting. So, God says He'll supply all our needs according to His riches and glory. You know, we have to look up when we say that verse, because it's going to come from heaven. Not just going to come by, you know, some trick here on earth. He's going to make it happen. And we've all, I'm sure, been blessed if we just think for a moment. Out of the blue. Out of the blue. What do you think that is? The Father will rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If something comes out of the blue, like rain, comes out of the Baloo. Who initiated that? God. So, can't wait to do special little things like that. And it's not like a happenstance or a coincidence or something. It's God's hand moving. And we should celebrate it and testify about it and enjoy it. And there are those of you that are telling me on a weekly basis just how some of that's happening. And it encourages me to do what you do, trust Him. And I hope that I can give you testimonies that will encourage you. Okay, here's the connection. You ready to roll? Rock and roll?
Yeah.
You're not used to such a long service. Sorry. Genesis 14:1. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elisar, hard name, king of Elam, and title, king of nations, that they made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinar, king of Admah, Shemeber, king of hard name, and the king of Bela. That is Zoar. All these joined together in the valley of Sidon, that is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served that guy, and in the 30th year they rebelled. In the 14th year, the same guy and the kings that were with him came and attacked the Rephaim in Ashtaroth, hard name, and the Zuzim in Ham, the Emim in Shava, hard name. And the Horites in their mountain of Seir, as far as El Paran, which is by the wilderness. Then they turned back and came to En Mispat, that is Kadesh and Kadesh, and attacked all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites, who dwelt in the Hazazon Tamar, and the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, went out and joined together in the battle in the valley of Sidon against hard name, king of Elam, title king of nations, Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elisar, four kings against five. Now the valley of Sidon was full of asphalt pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. Some fell there, and the remainder fled to the mountains. Then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way, and also took Lot. Here we go. Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. They're raiding. They take Lot's stuff. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the terebinth trees of Mamre, the Amorite brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and they were allies with Abram. Now when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318, not 17, trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. Maybe you didn't know Abraham was a warrior, not just a dude with a stick, you know. So he brought back all the goods. Lot's a relative of mine. You're not taking my relative's stuff. And he also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is, King's Valley, after his return from the defeat of Hardname and the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. First Communion. He was the priest of God Most High. Wouldn't that be cool in the Bible? Have your name and then you are the priest of God Most High. Well, it's not written here, it's written up there because you're kings and priests. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him a tithe of all. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich, except only what the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their portion. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Who came up with the idea for the tithe? Abram. God Most High didn't come down and say, Abram, time to give your tithe now. You know, you got back all those goods from Lot and everything else. It's almost like you had an increase again, you know, because you had a decrease and then you had an increase. Any increase, you should tithe on it, Abram. Come on, man. Let's giddy it up. Come on. No, Abram, out of the gratitude in his heart, came up with, how about I give a tithe? 10% in honor of God winning this victory, getting my beloved Lot back and his goods, women, his livestock. Not to put those in the same sentence together. But got it all back. And because of that, honored God by offering him a tithe after communion. Melchizedek says, let's have communion. Abraham says, let's do a tithe. Melchizedek says, what's a tithe? Well, if you knew the old English word, it means 10%. Melchizedek, my priest of the God Most High. Abram had this glory idea. I will tithe because God wins my victories. I will tithe because He is God the Most High. I will tithe because I'm grateful He brought everything back. When David went to that place, found everything gone, Zilpah, wasn't it? Zilpah, forget. Everything was gone. And they turned on him and wanted to blame him. David takes us off to fight, didn't even leave enough men to guard the camp. What kind of warrior is this guy? Took my wife. And the guy was really mad. Must have been a good one. They brought it up to David. You know what? So David, God, help me here. I'm in a pinch. I'm in a corner. Help me out. He goes and he gets it all back. All back. Abram gets it all back. I got to give a tithe. What was I thinking? Why did I wait so long? I should have given it on the way. But I got here and we had communion. That was nice. And I want to give a tithe, 10%, just to honor God. He was a volunteer. Anyone remember 2 weeks ago? It's better to be a son because then you can be a volunteer. It's better to be a daughter of the Lord because you can be a volunteer to be a slave, a bond servant. Have your ear against the door, spike put in so that there's a mark there that says, I want to serve my God. I don't want to be set free to do my own thing. I want to serve my God. I just know that all those people wearing earrings throughout the world are thinking the same thing. Every last one of them. Thinking of getting one myself. Big one. Make sure it's gold, you know. Hang down so trips me up when I walk. Just as a sign, I'm his. Okay, so let's figure this out here. Some of you are a little weary. Abraham volunteered for the first tithe. Here I am. He must have been a son, because only sons really volunteer. Servants are doing it because it's their work. Slaves are doing it because they're in bondage. But the son volunteers. Abraham was a son. He understood by revelation before Jack Frost ever taught on the Father's love. This is awesome. Before Jack Winter taught on the Father's love. Isn't that interesting? Jack Frost, Jack Winter, they're talking on Father's love. They must have got defrosted and dewinterized. Who started that? See, you can be identified prophetically. So, here we are. There's a slave economy, there's a servant economy, and there's a kingdom economy. I know. Switch the shells. Slave economy. Here it is. Your stuff is stolen by Pharaoh, by Babylon. You have nothing. You're a slave. Because it's stolen. If you're not a son, you're in trouble. Because your stuff's all stolen by the world system, by the enemy. He comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. He's done it to you if you're a slave. So what kind of mindset are you going to have? Wait. We're on the slave. What kind of mindset are you going to have if you're a slave? Poverty. Poverty mindset. You're completely subject to the world system. You think you're always in lack. Always in lack. So a lot of Christians, sad to say, are taking this as a badge. I'm going to make myself poor to please the Lord. Did he ask you to make yourself poor to please him? No. I thought it was a good idea. I'll let you think about that one. You can have a poverty spirit in a slave economy. You only think lack. You always want more. But you're a slave. You're in bondage. The enemy steals from you constantly. He takes, because you're in the wrong economy. You're not a slave out of volunteering. You're a slave because you're in the slave economy and subject to all its laws and rules, which are rules of lack and rules of poverty. And you cannot escape unless you become a son and find out what it's like on the other side of the tracks, my friends. What about the servant economy? You work for what you get. Oh, well, I do that. Really? That's all you do? Let's see. You work, you strive, you perform, and you get something for doing that. Well, all of us, hopefully, have worked in our lives, right? fact, he who does not work does not eat. So, let's work. I was telling someone this past week, work as unto the Lord. Don't work for your employer. Don't work for General Motors, which I used to work for. Don't worry, I was low man in the totem pole. Wasn't in the office. Work for Jesus. Then you'll do such a terrific job, they won't know what to do with you. In fact, they used to get mad at me because I was trying to learn how to work for Jesus Christ rather than General Motors. They didn't want me to work for Jesus Christ because they said, you put out so many parts in a certain amount of time, you go upstairs. Oh, they cheated. They get those parts. So I can't go upstairs. You have to go upstairs because your crew went upstairs. I can't. I have to stay down here and do something because this just isn't right. According to my calculations, we don't deserve that hour and a half up in the cafeteria. We only deserve 45 minutes. So if you don't mind, I'll just stay down here and do some work. I'll sweep because I just don't think it's right. Union people don't like that. You're supposed to be upstairs, dude. You're making them look bad. I can't hold them back. They might go out in that parking lot and slice your tires. I looked at the foreman and said, they won't be slicing my tires. I can't hold them back. Oh, I know you can't hold them back. I didn't tell him who was guarding my tires. But I had no worries about someone going out and slicing my tires. It was a factory of about 2,700 employees. They weren't going to slice my tires. Because God was honored by what I was doing. I wasn't trying to get them in trouble. I was trying to honor the Lord. And I didn't know what I was doing. I really didn't. So the person, the shift ends, supervisor and I go up the escalator and he says, I just don't get it. I mean, you finished out the shift. You could have been in the cafeteria enjoying yourself. Yeah, gambling. With the no gambling signs up in the cafeteria. You wonder why your cars are so expensive? I'm giving you the download, okay? Why they're so expensive. Now, how did they cheat? I should really let you know that real quick. There was these series of presses. They're all two stories high. Lines A through Y. They never made it to Z. They had lines of presses. In between the presses, there's these rolling belts. So there was an iron hand that would go in when the press was pushed because you had to put two hands on because you didn't want one hand in the press because they're 2 tons. And so both hands on the... And then it comes down. Boom! I mean, it's two stories. And heavy. Cuts these metal parts. Okay? Press after press after press with belt after belt after belt in between. And an iron hand that comes in and goes and grabs the part after it's been pressed, when the press goes up, pulls it out and throws it on the belt so it can go to the next person. And they put it in and it cuts off a bunch of stuff. Boom! And then it goes to the next belt. At the end is a belt where it comes off to me, the stacker. And I stack the parts. And I've got this little railroad thing, and I've got a pedal that I push, and it moves this little cool railroad thing along. And it's a basket that I stack these parts in. So you'd get into a rhythm on these lines, and it'd be just like, we really went after it. And you'd get what is called rate time. An hour and a half. Possible to get an hour and a half off of your shift. You're making all this money. And you get an hour and a half to go into the cafeteria and do whatever you would like to do. The Christians had a table where they did scripture memory. Sometimes they even made it up there because we actually did the right thing. But on the last press, there was a counter, the almighty counter. And it would count the parts as they went. went through the last press. Only the last press had the counter. And I was the stacker after the last press. So I would see the iron hand come out with the part. And on the counter, I knew. Click. One more part for General Motors. One more part for the consumer that will have that on their car. Works nice. Except that they were getting that rhythm. And they would press it without a part in there. Called an air panel. Iron hand takes the part. Iron hand takes no part. Empty space. But the counter still clicked over. You see the cheating? So you get in this rhythm, and I'd see the iron hand go, nothing there, nothing there. I know the counter is going around, click, 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 click. And they do an inventory after all the parts are produced and find out, oh my gosh, there's some parts missing. Who knew? Every man on that line. The supervisor who used to be a man on that line. They all knew that there was going to be a shortage. But I've got to go up to the cafeteria. I have to gamble after all. My hard-earned earnings so I can do lots of overtime. Make the payments. So I would see that happen a number of times. I would shut my belt down. And the parts would start to pile up on the belt. And I would wait. And the guy would come around from the last press. And it was so loud in there, all you saw was... Wasn't funny at the time. And I'd go, and he got it, whatever. So he would go get the supervisor, and the supervisor would come, what are you? Of course, I couldn't hear him very well. I had to take my plugs out. What are you doing? You know, they're running air panels. I couldn't announce it. No one would hear me anyway. Didn't want to. They're running air panels. I don't do that. And he would want to get mad at me, but he'd know that truly was the right thing. He would go back, talk to the guy calmly. He'll run his belt if you don't run air panels. Now, what's the big deal? Well, for one thing, these dies were placed in these presses. Whenever they don't end up with the right number of parts, they take the dies out, of course, because they think they have the right number of parts, and they put other dies in, many man hours, adding to the cost of the cars. Danger, because these are like a ton, as they're pulling it out on this platform thing that he moves in there, drives in there. It can hit that platform wrong, throw the guy off, he can get hurt. One was killed because the iron hands are put up in the air. But when the thing hits it wrong, bam, right into the iron hand. People have been killed putting in these dies. No one's thinking about that when they're up in the cafeteria having their grand old time, knowing that those dies are going to have to be changed at the end of the inventory. It'll probably be a month before they get that all straightened out, and they'll come back, switch in the dies. I saw them do it. Have to run more parts because they didn't have enough. Adding to the price of your car, by the way. So there are people up in the cafeteria playing their cards going, I just bought a new car from General Motors. Man, I got the discount, the employee discount. It still was so expensive. As he plays cards for an hour and a half and missing inventory. Doesn't seem to bother him. Bothered me. I worked for who? Jesus. I didn't know what to do. I didn't understand the whole system for a while. I didn't know. But God showed me, you can't just let this go. This hurts everybody. So So on the way up the escalator, the supervisor says, "I just don't get it. Who do you think you work for anyway? Jesus Christ himself?" And I just looked at him, and he just went up the escalator ahead of me. Even an unbeliever can see it after a while. Because when you work for Jesus, you want to do the best job you can do. And believe me, I'm sure I sloughed off many nights because I was on the graveyard shift. And one night, I was out of it. Because you go to church on Sunday and you go in at 10:30 at night on Sunday night. So, you know, you mess up on the weekends on third shift. And I went in and I was so exhausted, and I started stacking these parts with another guy. It was a two-man job. And I was hallucinating. And it was like the insides of doors, I think. You didn't always know what you were stacking. And I'm kind of like, I was delusional. And I actually saw food on these car parts. They were like I was stacking cafeteria trays. Look at them there apples. Woo! Mashed potatoes. Woo! The guy across from me, I'm sure he thought I was on drugs. Fortunately, I didn't get fired. He didn't turn me in. Anyway, all of us have to work, and we work for Jesus Christ himself. We're servants. But if you do that in the Spirit, performance, striving, who of us haven't been there as a Christian, and it doesn't work? It's self-effort when we're a servant. You're getting paid, but it's much better to be a bond servant where, you know, it doesn't matter. You let the master take care of you because you're a son. You know he won't fail to take care of you because you're a son, you're a daughter. He's not going to let you, you know, go hungry. He's not going to not meet your needs, not when he's pulling it down from heaven, not when he's opening up the windows of heaven. Well, what's the one we want to get to, or that we're already living in, fortunately? Kingdom. That's where you're a son. Now things are received by inheritance. Inheritance is so much better than self-effort and work. Now, don't get me wrong. We want you to work. Hey, did I fail to mention that? Don't give up your job for the inheritance just yet. I did, but you don't get to. You have freedom because everything is given by your Father. There's no bondage of being a slave. There's no self-effort by being a servant. You have complete freedom because you're on the inheritance plan. And the check's already here. It's not in the mail. It's here. And you're receiving it. And you're living off of that. Plus, you know, any self-effort that you did on the side, in the natural kind of thing, you're going to benefit from that as well. Wouldn't suggest it for the spiritual, but for the natural. So, for the slave economy, it's zero and it stays zero. For the servant economy, it's addition. For the kingdom economy, it's multiplication. An acceleration of the multiplication from glory to glory, all the good stuff's in the kingdom economy. That's why we want to live there. You see, if we just stay in the servant economy, most of us aren't slaves and completely in lack. But we don't even want to, you know, get close to that poverty spirit. We also don't want to just do everything by self-effort. And we might think we're in the kingdom economy, but we're doing a lot by self-effort. We want Holy Spirit to adjust us so that we can get into the kingdom economy, live under the inheritance, multiplication, acceleration, glory to glory, as we mentioned. That's the Philippians 4:19. That's my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. That's inheritance. That's inheritance living. Do we believe it's possible? Well, I haven't seen any checks in my mailbox. Maybe call it in. In the natural, call in, claim it, to come in. Not just to use on yourself. That's too limited. Remember, Father, he values people. Make sure the things you buy, the things you do, have some kind of impact on people. Buy a house not just to have you have a living room that no one sits in. Let them sit there. Let them sit on the furniture. Let them leave some dirt. Why? Because you're investing in what? The furniture? People. Let them spill stuff on your carpet. It's a mark of love that you've given out. Let them laugh at your cat. This is the kingdom. By the way, just real quick here, if I can find it. Oh, Carson had a subscription. One of the magazines came to our house, so. It just came, yeah. Okay, so when we're talking about, tithe, where does that come in? Well, obviously it's in the kingdom. But you can give a tithe as a servant. It's the tithe you give without cheerfulness. Under compulsion. All they ever talk about at that church is money. All Pastor Bill ever seems to... money. Okay, that's the tithe under compulsion. That's a servant economy because a slave doesn't have anything to give. He's in poverty. He's in lack, so he has nothing to give. So no tithes coming from him, more than likely. But the servant actually could give a tithe, but it's out of the wrong heart because he's constantly striving anyway. So he gives it out of the striving. Can't enjoy it at all. It's only the kingdom son-daughter person that can do it with cheerfulness and enjoy it and not bring judgment upon people thinking, this morning, what I'm really trying to do, folks, is manipulate you into a bigger offering. That's what I'm trying to do. Pull out your wallet. You know, the Lord doesn't allow us to manipulate. He doesn't want me to manipulate you. Holy Spirit is the only one that's allowed to even adjust you. He's certainly not going to manipulate you. He'll just be upfront with you. You need an adjustment in your giving. Well, I'm giving on, you know, the net. I want you to give on the gross. Well, that doesn't make sense. They take the taxes out before I ever see it in my paycheck. So the government gets the first fruits? I thought God was supposed to get the first fruits. I thought Abram was like, here you go. And then I just see the tax collectors coming in and going, and we want our portion too. Abram gave the first fruits, the tithe, on the whole amount, not what was left over. You know, Holy Spirit might do an adjustment. I think it's a wonderful thing. It's like, oh, an instant upgrade for God if you've been giving on the net. Give on the gross. That's what he actually gave you, just because the government got their paws on it. You don't want them to have the first fruits. If you give God the tithe on the gross, you're giving God the first fruits, even if the government got in there and kind of snaked some of it away, because you know the real amount. You do. You can figure it out. Dial-in can help you if you need it. Okay, I know. Going forever. It's an upside-down kingdom. Where have we heard that? It's an upside-down kingdom. You see, the son gets it through inheritance. The inheritance is a position he's standing in. I'm standing in as son. I'm entitled to this position. It's an entitlement. I have the title of son or daughter of the Most High. And so I have entitlement, I have inheritance to give back out of a cheerful heart to God in the tithe and in offerings beyond that, because you can't outgive my dad. And I'm so close to him, it's fun. It's given to your relative. Giving God a present. And he just doesn't happen to mention that the first 10%, just to show him you honor him. That's the basic. That's the training level, right? The offerings is where you really get into the, this is the sweet aroma. It's an offering of praise, an offering of sacrifice that I'm giving to you, Lord. I don't have to give an offering, but I am, just because you're so good to me. See, a son just kind of tries to figure out more ways to give. The daughter of the Lord tries to just think of creative ways to give. Because he doesn't have any idea what it's like to be a slave in lack, or a servant that strives, because he's enjoying the presence of the Lord so much and the sweetness of the fellowship of Holy Spirit. It's just, he just kind of laughs. Like, you bless me so much. A servant will only give the tithe out of obedience. The son gives it. The slave has any lack to give to God at all. He's in bondage. But when we become a slave as a son, we empty ourselves. Lord, I'm going to act like I have nothing, because all I need is you. Really, in the back of my mind, I have everything. I know it. But I'm going to offer myself to you. Just empty myself before you. Offering. Offering. That's, we're becoming a slave as a son. We just offer the Lord everything we are. Remember when we had the time where we were giving out Father's love in the picture that I had for each person? You passed by me and you went to the bags. You put in some expression of what you owned, whether it was a piece of jewelry or a wallet or a purse. And we did return all of those, as far as I know, into the bag. And then you went back here to a pew, and you laid on the pew to give yourself to the Lord. You know the one that I personally wanted you to get the most? It wasn't necessarily what the Lord gave me to give you through a picture and the Father's love. I figured you would receive that very easily, and you did. And I got such expressions of thankfulness and gratefulness, expressed to the Lord by your thanking me and being grateful to me. It was very warming to me. But the thing I wanted you to get was back here. That Father's love and his expression of love to you and giving you a picture from heaven to earth inside for your spirit to think about and ponder like Mary did in her heart. Laying down your possessions, but giving of your entire self, it'll make all of this other stuff work. Giving everything you are to God will make all this other work. You'll really get the benefits of the Father's love and the picture that was given to you from his heart. You'll really get the benefits of laying down your possessions if back here you have laid yourself before the Lord and you are truly his. Isn't that true? That's the step I wanted you to get the most. I was enjoying my part in it. But your short, or I think the side ones were for soaking people, or long time with the Lord, laying yourself down and giving of yourself to him, will make you a son, and it will make all these other things work. Or it'll deepen you as a son or daughter and make all these other things work in your life. Does that make sense? So let's just stand. You don't want just a teaching this morning on tithing and offerings. You want a transformation so you can walk in it and receive the windows of heaven opening up over your life. That's what you really want, a closer relationship with him as sons, so that you don't dip into these other areas of servanthood without sonship, of slave without being a son. But you can serve the Lord as a bondservant and empty yourself of everything as a slave if you're a true son, and you'll do it with such an open heart. That's what I'm wanting for you. In Christ Jesus, I am favored by my heavenly Father. The favor he has given his Son has been given to me. This is undeserved, unmerited favor that is granted me in Christ. His favor is a free gift for you, for which you are very thankful. Amen. As Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men, so also do you. Because you abide in Jesus and he abides in you. You embrace the favor of God, for it is better than silver and gold. The favor of God on your life endures for a lifetime and causes your mountain of influence and blessing to stand strong. His favor surrounds you like a shield against your enemies. The Lord favors you with vindication and delights in your prosperity. His blessings on your life attracts the rich among the people who seek your favor. By the favor of the Lord, the works of your hands are confirmed and established. All that you put your hand to is favored. Your steps are bathed in butter, and the rock pours out oil for you. As you seek the Lord's favor, he is gracious unto you according to his word. You are favored in your home and favored in your workplace. You are favored everywhere you go, in all that you do. You love wisdom and seek diligently for wisdom and understanding. Therefore, you have been granted favor by the Lord, and you are favored by others. In the light of your king's face is life. And his favor is like a cloud with the spring rain over you. His favor is like heavenly dew that falls on your life. You are favored in his presence, and he goes before you, revealing his goodness and glory to you. His favor opens doors of opportunity for you that no man can shut. By his favor, you have been granted the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth has been loosed in heaven. His righteous scepter of favor is extended towards you. Whatever you ask in the name of Christ, he grants unto you when you make your requests and petitions according to his will. He daily grants you great favor because of the covenant blood of Christ and the promises in His Word. Blessed be the Lord who favors His people. Father, we're asking You to favor each individual person here and Your people in Your midst. We're asking You to bring prosperity to their lives, their hearts, their spirits, and their finances, Father. We're asking that the windows of heaven will be opened up over them, and that every provision from heaven will come down and shower over them in Jesus' name. We're saying today, we're decreeing today, we're declaring today that there is no lack in this place. There are no slave economy people here. There are no servant economy people here. There are only sons and daughters of the kingdom economy here. And the kingdom generosity can flow, Lord. We're asking for new sources of income to come to their lives, Father. We're asking that new streams of income will come to them. Not just one stream, but multiple streams, Father. And that You'll increase it and multiply it until it can't be counted. Father, and then the tithes and offerings can be brought into Your storehouse in abundance. And they can right now without any of this happening. Lord God, adjust any of us that need adjustment. Thank You, Lord, for the adjustment on my life. Continue to adjust me. And adjust faithfully each one of those that loves You as a son or daughter. Father, I really don't want You. I don't want You, Father. And I know You won't. Invade the heart of the greedy unless it's with love. I know You'll do it with love. Invade the heart of any of us that tends toward greed, any of us that hangs on to things and doesn't trust You, whether it be our emotions, whether it be our decisions, whether it be our finances. Father, we're asking only touch them with love. And we know that's what You love to do in this covenant. Adjust them through love. Adjust me through love. Thank You, Lord. We expect great things this year. Windows of heaven opened up on the finances of Frontline Ministries International and Frontline Worship Center. We pray that every trip will be fully funded, God. No lack. No lack. We pray that every part of the finances of this operation, so to speak, Lord, will go forward from glory to glory so that we can reach more precious ones in the nations for You and in the neighborhoods for You and right next to us, Lord. Father, help us take personal responsibility for seeing Your kingdom increase this year. Help us, Lord, to step into things we've never stepped into before. Give us a joyful heart that giving will be a cheerful opportunity rather than something that's forced down our throats in our own thinking, because it's not true. You're not that way. You're patient. You're so patient with us, Lord. Never once have I felt You have forced me to give. Thank You, God. You didn't force Abram. You could have come in with something You knew would be established. In the Mosaic Law, You didn't have to wait for Abram, but You waited on him to come up with the idea out of volunteering, out of offering. The first tithe was really an offering. Thank You, God, it was by a volunteer and not something that You laid down in a law book, on a tablet. Thank You, Father, it was from someone's heart. Just like now in the New Testament, it's from our heart. We're not under compulsion. We're under a banner of love, gratefulness, thankfulness, Lord. We bless Your name. We thank You, God, that You'll turn the clock back today so that everyone here will feel like they have extra time because of the time I've taken to express your word. Lord, you woke me up in the middle of the night. You adjusted my short sermon into a long exposition. So, Father, redeem the time for them. Redeem the time for them. Bring it back to their coffers, Lord. Overflowing time. They just don't know where the windows of heaven of time just comes back to them, Lord. Flows over them as a people. And they'll say, wow, that didn't take very long to do that. Gee, I ate in 4.6 seconds. Man, this just works. I like this. Can't be gaining any weight. It didn't take me that long to eat. Lord, redeem the time for your people. We bless them richly with your provision and your prosperity. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I had so much fun talking about money, I think I'll do it again. No. It was really about sonship, right? It was really about sonship. And you, unless we have announcements, we done with announcements? No one's announcing, so you're dismissed, but I know what that means.
Thanks for my saying about your iPhone, huh?
Yeah, that was great. Thank you.